TNT Mind Spark podcast. Today's segment is What is Your Spark? Joining me today is going to be one of our fantastic makers, Spencer. How are you doing today, Spencer?
Pretty good, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Yeah, overall pretty good. So my first question I have for you is, what's your major?
I'm a computer science major.
What do you plan to do with that?
Still kind of up in the air, but right now the main goal is to go into game development.
Okay, I gotcha. So now what's your favorite snack?
I guess it varies on the day. Typically, I'll just eat some rice crackers.
Rice crackers. Those are good. Do you have like, do you prefer the bland ones or do you have a specific flavor that you like going for?
Depends. Sometimes it's caramel and sometimes it's the cheese ones.
Oh, I don't think I've ever had the cheese ones. Sound kind of good though. So what first got you into like coding slash game design?
So I've always liked video games. You know, a lot of people growing up end up liking video games, but coding, high school sophomore year, I had to take an elective, and that was one that stood out to me. Took it the first year, had an amazing instructor, Mr. McCoy, great guy, and from then on, I was just really into it.
All right. Do you remember the first thing that you felt proud of coding?
Yes, the first time I felt extremely proud was the end of, I think it was junior year of high school. We had a project for computer science where we had to create a Huffman algorithm, which essentially that's what zip files are. Mm. It condenses data into smaller data. Really frustrating, really difficult to figure out. Getting to the end of that project and succeeding was one of the more satisfying moments of learning to code.
I gotcha. So kind of changing a bit of focus to the Spark itself, what is a machine or a tool that you find the most useful here at the Spark?
That would be between the 3D printers and the laser for me. The laser, I have definitely found the most use out of any tool in the Spark, but for like general use, the 3D printers have so much variety that you can use for them.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, honestly, I'm probably somewhere in between those as well, because like the laser cutter are really good for prototyping, but then the 3D printers, you know, fantastic for like miniatures or other things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the engineering students that I talk to, they use them more than probably anyone else.
Oh, absolutely. So when you're creating a project, how do you define success?
So there's two different variations of success that I go into. There's a process called MVP. I don't know if you've heard of it. It stands for minimum viable product. Basically, you go into the project with a certain mindset of, if I were to ship it, what are the minimum goals that I would need to ship it and for it to be quality. And then once I get to the MVP, which is the first goal of success, if I don't get to that, it's a failure just flat out. But if I get to that and I still have time to develop stuff like that, my personal goals of success tend to meet the, it differs per project. It's more of like what it stands for me.
That kind of thing. Okay, that makes sense. So do you critique your own work?
Oh, absolutely. I like to think I'm the harshest critic of my own work, but I guess I have no way of knowing. I like to grade myself on a lot of what I do, of, you know, whether or not I could have improved in any way. Typically, while I'm doing it, I'll throw away a project that's half done and restart it if I don't like it enough.
Mm-hmm. And kind of following up from that, do you consider yourself to be a creative person?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I do like to create things, so I guess by definition have to, but I'm also like, I've only lived in my head, so I can't really judge based on that kind of thing.
No, that's fair. Do you have to be like in a certain mood to create?
Yeah. I guess more so I have to be in a certain mood not to create. Like if I'm in like a slump, I can't create, but like any other time, typically I'll be able to do something, whether it's storytelling or, you know, making something. That stuff is typically not too hard to do unless I'm like in a bad headspace kind of deal.
Okay, yeah, I gotcha. So what part of your creative process do you find the most challenging?
The step right after planning. So starting the physical project. Like the planning phase is the most fun for me. I have the most, it's the easiest time. You get to really get in depth of what you want to do, the whole blueprinting, everything like that. But the moment I have to put pen to paper, or the moment that I have to put the first nail in or whatever, that's the moment that I hit typically the brick wall of either burnout or like being too worried that I'll get too far in the project and realize I don't like it, stuff like that. That kind of the anxiety that comes with physically starting the project is probably the hardest one.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Just like the haptic feedback gloves, which may or may never get finished. But that's a different story. It does. So for creativity, do you think that is a natural trait or do you think that's something that could be nurtured?
I mean, it's probably a combination of the two. I mean, there are certain people who are just born like innately imaginative and stuff like that. But at the same time, like there's no ceiling on imagination. That's the whole point of it. It's limitless. So it's absolutely trainable since the only qualification is you want to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to switch gears for a second. You have 24 hours to live. How would you spend that day?
I mean, I'd probably spend, I mean, I'd like to think that I'd spend the day the same way I spend most of my other days, finding good people to sit down, have conversations with, you know, just you know, do the things that I like to do. I don't really want to, I don't think I'd change the way I live now just because like there's a deadline on it, you know?
Maybe eat some bread.
No, I'd rather not spend my last couple hours sick to my stomach.
That's fair. So, what is one thing or multiple things that you wish a lot more people knew about the Spark?
So, the number one thing is I wish people knew, like, where we are and what we are. Because I have a lot of people that I'll talk to, you know, outside of the work hours, workspace, stuff like that. And I'll bring us up and, you know, people will think we're a club or... You know, people won't know where we're located, so they won't know what our facilities are, which is a huge bummer because, you know, I have a lot of things that I think would be really neat to show people and let them, like, get the gist of things because I think a lot of things stifling creativity for most people is not knowing or not believing they have the means to make it. For example, for me, I've wanted to make a board game since, like, middle school. And then when I started working here, I started realizing that I actually had the opportunity to do it. And so I did. But if I didn't know about the laser cutter, the 3D printers, or any of the other resources that we have, that probably would have been a pipeline dream for, you know, the foreseeable future at minimum.
Yeah. And hey, if you ever come into the Spark and Spencer is around, ask him about the board game. He will gladly show it to you and play a round or two with you. And so my last question is, what is a piece of advice that you would give someone that wants to get into your field of work?
So the biggest piece of advice for, like, honestly, this is probably for any field, but especially for coding, learn how to Google really well.
Yeah.
Because most people that I come into contact with are very intelligent people. But with coding in particular, there's so much to know and so much to learn that it's a lot easier to learn how to learn it than it is to actually learn it, especially to memorize it. You know, there's so much syntax. And when you get into like 6 or 7 different languages, like myself and a couple of my friends, some of that can be really tough to manage and you'll forget, you know, oh, wait, what is this error message I've never seen before? You can't learn the entire, you know, the entire list of error 38024.
Yeah.
So learning how to Google that and learning the correct questions to ask is probably the most important thing. And I'd argue that's most likely the case for every field, but definitely for comp sci.
Honestly, yeah. Honestly, I feel like most things in STEM, Googling is a huge aspect. You just need to know how to formulate your questions correctly to get the information you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, with that has been my last question. Is there anything else you would like to add here at the end for our viewers at home or just anything you maybe want to plug?
No, not really. Just come do the Spark, get trained, make stuff.
Yeah, that's the best endorsement I could ask for. And with that has been the UNT MindSpark podcast of our segment on What is Your Spark? Joining me today was our fantastic maker, Spencer. And with that, I wish you guys have a great rest of your day.